You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Daniel, all through the campaign, Mr. Trump railed about Ford and its plans to send a small car production to Mexico. And at the same time, he never acknowledged that Executive Chairman Bill Ford has said no American jobs will be lost. And Ford called Trump's criticism infuriating and frustrating. So there is a strained history, no?
There is, but the other part, side of the coin is that the two men did meet in New York, my understanding is, and they did have a conversation about this. And Trump has since been public and effusive in his praise of Bill Ford, has acknowledged some of the complaints that Ford Motor Company has about high corporate taxes and the cost of health care and regulations that they have to contend with, and I think has been sympathetic. You know, I think Donald Trump understands what the auto industry is dealing with. And I think, frankly, he probably does understand that, in fact, that the removal of small car production in Wayne, Michigan was going to be replaced by what are we understand, and we broke this story more than a year ago, a new Ranger pickup, which is being built in other parts of the world, and probably the revival of the Bronco SUV. I think he understands this. My understanding, too, is, and I just recently wrote about this, is that Ford is very much in contact with the Trump transition and the Trump campaign. CEO Mark Fields said as much this week out of the Los Angeles Auto Show, but I did a little more reporting, and they're very close, in very close contact with them. And that should really not come as a surprise. I think as a general proposition, an automaker is going to be doing that. My understanding is this is the 20th president that Ford Motor Company in its history has had to deal with. And were it in a Democrat who was elected, who was Hillary Clinton, they'd be doing the exact same thing, bringing their issues to the fore, talking to the transition, advising them potentially on people that they might want to look at, or just making suggestions. That's why these car companies have big Washington shops with people who are very well connected in the political world.
When we think about some history, congressional Republicans strongly opposed that 2009 federal bailout that mm-hmm. basically rescued the domestic auto industry, although we should note that process was begun by George W. Bush and then taken
Absolutely.
To completion by President Obama. Why would automakers feel at all encouraged or feel that things could be stronger for them under a Trump presidency?
Well, I think it has more to do with the macroeconomic situation, corporate taxes being a very good example. You know, Donald Trump has voiced a lot of concern for what he calls the forgotten man and the forgotten woman. And I think that translates in our world here as the lunch bucket crowd, the union folks who work in plants, who go to work, play by the rules. And that is actually an asset, I think, potentially to the automakers on the management side and also on the union side. The United Auto Workers, I think, are ironically finding a potential ally in a Republican administration in Donald Trump. If, in fact, he does begin some negotiations with Justin Trudeau in Canada and with their counterpart in Mexico and starts to, you know, reopen NAFTA, look at some things, tighten some things up, that very much is in the wheelhouse of the UAW. And President Dennis Williams is already on record saying, you know, he'd be willing to work with President Trump on that. But I think the longer-term goal for the Democrats out there listening to this is, this has potential resonance across the industrial Midwest, which really delivered the White House to Donald Trump. And if he is successful in doing that, and if he is credited with making a change and rolling back or redoing the NAFTA world that this industry and we in Michigan and Ohio have known for a generation, really, more than 20 years, that could have profound political implications 4 years from now.
And when you try to parse Trump's statements that we've heard about currency manipulation or health care and trade, what are you hearing from auto executives? What do they think it means for auto companies?
Well, currency manipulation is a real big issue and has been for many, many years. Now, there are people on the other side of the argument who say that the Japanese and the Chinese are not manipulating their currency, and that's just an excuse. I think the car companies would come back to you and say, no, it's not an excuse, and we understand this a lot better than you do. You know, we live in a global economy, despite what some of the things Trump said on the campaign trail, and we will continue to live in a global economy. That said, there are national economic stresses that I think are coming to the fore. You're seeing it in the United States. You're seeing it in parts of Western Europe. You're going to continue to see that. And so what I think politicians are going to have to be reckoning is this tension between the global companies that are headquartered in their countries and the needs that they have, and they are employers in their countries, and the political atmosphere that they're operating in. Where that ultimately goes, I don't know. But, I mean, clearly we've seen with the Brexit vote in the UK, we've seen Marine Le Pen in France, who is an ultra-right politician from the National Front, who I think a lot of people think could be successful in the next polling in France, which would be kind of the Donald Trump of France. And Germany seems to be somewhat quiescent, but they're dealing with their own issues. But clearly these kinds of issues that we're talking about are very important in a country like Germany. And that doesn't even get into places like China and others. So, you know, there's going to be this tension as we go forward. And I think what the companies are looking at is if we can get some improvement on the macroeconomic environment that we and our people are operating in, that's a net plus for us. Because despite the fact that President Obama clearly did, as you said at the top, execute the rescue of the auto companies, particularly GM and Chrysler in 2009, his administration also spent 8 years layering more and more and more regulations and tougher fuel economy regulations that really outstripped the ability of the companies to keep up. So we're now at a point where they've improved fuel efficiency, but the curve going forward to 2025 is getting steeper and steeper and steeper. And I think one of the things they hope is that under a Trump administration by 2018, they're going to start to relook at those rules. And as one executive said to me, they're going to let data drive the rulemaking process, not politics. And I think what they see is that in a lot of cases in the Obama years, politics and environmental politics specifically has been driving a lot of environmental policymaking.
Detroit News Business columnist Daniel House. As always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.